I just resaw the lie detector myth that ended with you two taking a cross-country bus ride. Did you actually do it? And what was that like? Okay, let's unpack that one, Tori.
I love that question because there is so much to unpack on this answer.
Welcome, MythFits.
Welcome back to another episode of MythFits. I am Tori Blagey.
And I'm Carrie Byron, and we're doing something kind of fun today.
Yeah, Carrie, you know how we've been talking about how we're really having fun doing this podcast because it gives us a chance to interact, reconnect with the fans, and, you know, just kind of create this new family of MythFits.
I mean, back in the old days, we used to have message boards because we didn't have, like, Instagram and Twitter and all the things quite as active. So we had message boards and we'd read things from the fans. And like, if we did something wrong, we'd redo it. And then Reddit came in and we started doing these AMAs so that people could ask us whatever they wanted. So we just put a call out on Instagram for you guys to send us your questions, like anything you want to know. And no holds barred. Tori and I are going to just answer your questions today.
It's funny that you bring up the message boards because I remember when we first started, the message boards, oh my God, like that was one thing I hated to read because they love Jamie and Adam. And they were like, we don't like these new little whippersnappers. They're all arrogant and cocky. And they're like these punk kids. And it took a while for the diehard Mythbusters fans to like embrace us. And I remember it wasn't until we went to Dragon Con in Atlanta. And I was so nervous because it was like just the three of us. It was like Grant, you and I, and we were going to go do a panel. And I was just like, they're going to boo us. I'm like, I don't want, like, I'm so nervous. We walked out on the stage and everybody was like cheering for us. And it was that moment that I was like, oh my God, they don't hate us. They actually like us.
You know, it takes a minute for people to get through change. Message boards at first were a little cruel. I've got a really thick skin now because, you know, the internet, after 20 years of being a woman on the internet, I've learned a thing or two. But back in those days, somebody called me a bubblehead. That's it. It's like not even that big of an insult, but they called me a bubblehead and I took it deep. And I started to cry in the blueprint that we were filming right after that. And there, you guys were like, oh my God, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm not a bubblehead.
Yeah. No, I know. It's like, you can go through and read like all these lovely, sweet messages, but you focus in on that one negative or the couple of negative. I remember we were testing, I think it was Blown Away. And so I was creating this rig that would hold a carcass on a steel frame. And to test it, I like held onto it and like brought my legs up, my knees up to my chest to like hang from the rig. And I think it was you or Scotty pushed me just to see if it would knock me off this frame. And it did. And so I was holding these metal hooks that we were going to put the pig carcass on. And it came down and cracked me in the head. And I was
so
like,
hard.
Yeah. And I started tearing up. Right. And I remember somebody was like, that guy, Tori, he's such a little wuss. He started crying after you got hit. And I was like, no, dude, my eyes were watering. It wasn't like tears,
it was a huge metal hook straight to the noggin. Oh my God.
I cracked myself.
Yeah. Well, after a little while, they got used to us and, you know, everybody kind of got familiar. And, you know, now these days, I think it's all love. It's mostly love, right?
Mostly. So now what we're going to do is go through and answer all the questions that you have been sending in as we're getting ready to record this podcast. So the first one I have is from Tony. Was the narrator ever on set? I feel like he has become an iconic voice and wondering if he ever personally saw some of the tests.
That's funny. Rob was, he was remote. Like for a long time, he was just a voice to us. He was a voice actor because the production company was in Australia. So a lot of the people that worked on Mythbusters, we didn't meet for a long time.
Yeah. But he did come to set a few times, or at least a couple of times, because I remember him coming out to set to visit. It was like when the show was getting very popular, and it was just weird to put a face to the voice.
Right? And he didn't look like I expected him to look. I don't know what I expected him to look like, but it's so funny when you see a voice actor in real life.
He was a native Canadian, moved to Australia, but he had a very American accent. So it was just a weird combination, but great guy, like loved to drink. We'd go out to bars and he would love you like, mate, you need another pint.
Shout out to Rob.
You know, it's funny. We did a revamp of Mythbusters. It was called Motor Mythbusters on Motor Trend. And we were like, you know, do we want to use Rob's VO? And I felt like, let's try to get away from the old Mythbusters and try to create something different, something a little bit more modern and not copy the old format. But a lot of people were like, no, like Rob's voiceover, like he's such a character on Mythbusters. And it was funny. I played a episode before it aired to my mom, just like a rough cut. And she was like, oh, that's the voiceover from the old Mythbusters, huh? I go, yeah. She's like, oh, that's really comforting. And so Aww. it was an interesting, like, I was like, no, let's like, we'll just voiceover. And hearing my mom's perspective of like, oh, it's comforting that you brought something from the original to the new show. She liked that.
Yeah, they tried so many times to recreate Mythbusters as something different, you know, like,
yeah,
like they revamped it and they did like a reality show search for the next Mythbusters.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah. I watched Moto Mythbusters. That was cute. I like that one.
It was fun. Got to do all kinds of crazy car stunts. It was awesome.
Gosh.
But it's funny that we kind of had lightning in a bottle. Like Mythbusters at the time, I don't know if it would have succeeded like it did then because it was the beginning of the internet, which like urban legends were kind of like going viral because, you know, now everybody could communicate.
You know what? I disagree. I think that the internet has given us so many more myths. I see them all the time. Movies, television, everything has almost gotten more wild and people are less aware of what is real. I think we'd have plenty to do. I think the issue has always been that the people who produced Mythbusters from far away didn't understand like the chemistry between all of us and none of us being professionals. That was the thing that made the show really successful is that like we all kind of came from a background of builders and makers rather than scientists. And it was the chemistry between us. Because if they did that show today, they would cast it. We would all be a lot hotter.
Right.
No, we'd all be a lot more qualified.
Right. I hear what you're saying. But I guess my point is back then, there wasn't as much noise. Nowadays, there's so much to distract you. And back then, they would like let a show breathe. Like the first couple of seasons of Mythbusters, we didn't have a huge audience. It just slowly grew. And because I guess it was cheap to make that they kept doing it. And then we got momentum and the audience grew. But nowadays, it's like if it's not a hit right out of the gate, they're like, okay, kill it.
Yeah, you got to come out swinging. You have to have like really, really come out with a major plan. That is true. That you can't just like awkwardly, slowly grow your voice like we did.
Yeah. All right. Next question.
This, by the way, is on our Instagram at MythFits Podcast for next time because we ask audience questions all the time to each other at the end of each episode. Just happens we're doing them all right now. We've got Corey. I just resaw the lie detector myth that ended with you two taking a cross-country bus ride. Did you actually do it? And what was that like? Okay, let's unpack that one, Tori.
I love that question because there's so much to unpack on this answer.
Okay, first of all, they said if you were able to, the whole idea was that could you fool the lie detector? And there were different methodologies, but they're like, if you can actually think something different than you say, like you might be a psychopath. Like it is so hard to do. And
so we were coming up with different techniques to see if we could beat the lie detector. And we, you know, it was like, put a tack in your shoe.
So every
time you answer a question truthfully, you poke your toe on the tack, which would cause your body to have this response. And that would in turn fool the lie detector.
But like in the end, no matter what I did, I could not fool the lie detector. I mean, I'm a terrible liar as it is. Like you can see it on my face. So like, no, I could not beat technology. That was way too hard. Only Grant could do it. I don't know how he was able to program his brain. He might have been part robot, but like he would literally go into the room and he would see something. I don't remember what our object was, but he'd like see a pen and be like, that's a pencil. And
I think what it was, because we went into a room. There was a watch in the drawer. And your task was to either steal the watch or leave it there. But whatever you did, you would lie about it in the session. And so Grant was just like, he said the whole night before he imagined doing the opposite of what he was going to actually do.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how you can do that. I mean, I'm so impressed by him able to reprogram his brain like that.
I know. That is crazy. I mean, he is like a computer. He was like a computer for sure.
That was amazing.
But what was funny, or not so funny, because if you beat the lie detector, you got to fly home. You won $1,000 and you got to fly home with the rest of the crew. If you lost, you had to take a bus back from, I don't know, where were we? We were like in the middle of the country somewhere. So we had to fly back.
We were in like Charleston.
Yeah.
We were on the other side of the country.
We'd have to take a bus back to California.
Yeah, we were
going to
take a Greyhound bus. It was going to take weeks. I had a small child. They sprung this on us like at the last minute and I was panicking. I was just like, I can't be away from my baby for like a whole week. This is awful. I can't believe they're doing this to us. I was stressing so hard.
Yeah, you were. You started crying and I was like, Carrie, relax.
I totally started crying.
Relax. Because I was like, there's no way they're going to be able to film the show because it's going to take days for us to take a bus back to California. I'm like, they don't have it in the schedule. Like, they're not going to make us get on this bus. They're going to film it to look like we get on the bus, but I go, trust me, we're not taking this bus back.
I believed them. I believed it.
And I remember the sound recordist heard me talking you out of it. And they're like, they're on to us. So then somebody else came over and they're like, here are your tickets. Get on the bus. Like
even worse, because I was believing them because I know that our producers like to get a big reaction out of us. I mean, I had one like push me into a snake cage once because they wanted to see me scream. Like I just didn't trust them to not mess with us. Not only did they take us to a cutty part of town to get onto the Greyhound, but in front of a whole bunch of kind of shady looking people, they handed us a video camera and a wad of cash. And they're like, get on the bus. And I started to cry because I'm like, we're going to get robbed.
No. Do you know where that wad of cash came from?
Was that Grant?
Grant was like, he was like so in love with you. He was like, here, Carrie, take this money.
Oh, Grant.
You'll be okay. And I'm like, wait, where, Grant, why are you giving me any money? Why'd she get the money?
He knew that you could handle yourself. Oh, like I needed to buy my way out of the situation.
It was such a, oh my God, it was such a weird experience because they pull up in front of the bus stop. They make us get out. They give us two envelopes, which had our tickets in them. If we had just opened up the envelope, they weren't tickets. They were like folded up pieces of like, I think it was the call sheet. Like, you know, I was so convinced that we weren't getting on the bus that I was just like, okay. Like,
yeah,
when are you going to call this off?
I should have listened to you because I went through trauma. And then when they told us, I was so mad at them. I was just like laughing, trying to wipe the tears away. I'm like, you guys suck.
But do you remember what they told? Because Grant, you know, after each of us did the experiment, we went through the lie detector test and Carrie and I lost, but Grant won. And he was like, yeah, I beat it. Woo. And then the expert said, well, I wouldn't be so excited that you won because that shows signs of a psychopath.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can beat a lie detector, you have psychopathic tendencies.
I don't know. I think he was proud of that. I think that showed that he just had a level of intelligence that was different. Like,
yeah,
he is part robot.
He is a robot. All right, next question. This one comes from Brandon. What myth did Adam and Jamie do that you guys wish you could have done? And what would you have done differently?
Oh, question. Goodness. I don't know if I would have done some differently, but they did a lot of ones that looked really fun to me, like equipment that they got to try. Like, when they first did Shark Week, I was like, this is so cool. I wanted to do all the myths that they were doing for Shark Week. Or I don't know. They got a lot of really, really good, fun ones.
The one that bugged me the most is because I saw this movie, and in the movie, there is the hero gets caught by the bad guys. And so they have him in an SUV and they're like taking him to the boss, right? And so there are these two big heavy set actors, and then the main character is in between them. And then the vehicle gets hit by a truck or something. And because he's surrounded by these two large men, he survives the crash. And so I see this and I'm like, oh my God, this is perfect.
Yeah.
So I brought it to the producers and I was like, look at this scene. You know, this would be so perfect. We can sculpt giant, you know, foam bodies and, you know, take it out to the runway, put Buster in there and crash it. And he was like, oh, this is great. But then Jamie and Adam saw it and they're like, oh yeah, that's awesome. We're going to take that one. And it was like, I brought this to you. You're taking my myth.
Man, it was always a point of pride if you brought the myth in and they chose to actually do it. Like, I'd get so excited if they're like, yes, Carrie, we're going to do paper armor. And I'm like, yes, I've been using this one for like the last 2 years. Yes.
Well, I remember you brought in a crash brace position.
Oh, you mean from the airplane?
You brought in that one?
The airplane one?
Yeah. Didn't you bring that one in?
Oh God, I can't even remember. That was.
I think you did. I think you did, because for some reason you had gone, like you had traveled, and then there was the pamphlet. Why don't you just take credit for it? Yeah, you brought that in.
No, I mean, I've always been really obsessed with airplane flights, and whenever I would get on, I always read the safety instructions, even though I know them by heart because I fly all the time. But it's like, I don't know, for somebody who's kind of a skeptic and believes in science, I also just kind of sometimes do good luck stuff. And one thing is, my friend and I, when we were traveling around the world, that was like something we did as routine. We always read the little pamphlet. And brace position, I had heard, was actually, it was fake. Like, they tell you to get into the brace position because it's less likely that you will sue the airline if you don't survive. So it was supposed to break your neck. Like, that was the mythology, which sounds insane. But I mean, I'm the person that when I get on an airplane knows exactly what seat I should be in for the best survival. And because we did all of this testing, I know the ratings on the seat and where they will break and the best things to do. And like, I think about that every single time. I won't give you too much information so people won't get on airplanes. But let's just say you should sit near the exit row.
Well, did you see that guy who just survived in that Indian crash?
Yes, yes.
Air India?
Yeah.
It was like one person survived that crash, and he was right next to the exit door. And I guess he got out before it exploded or before it caught on fire. But it was just like, that is insane. This sounds like a movie.
Well, I mean, that's the one thing we learned that always freaks me out is like, you are something like 85% more likely to die from smoke inhalation than from actually the crash itself.
Yeah.
Because the seats break your legs and you can't get out.
And they also say sit towards the back of the plane, you know, because you have all that crumple zone of the rest of the plane. So it's like first class, you're done.
You're done. You might as well sit.
Back, you want to be at the back of the plane.
So next to the bathroom.
You might have a chance. Yeah, next to the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
Gross. But you know, it's funny. You brought in the myth about the crash brace position, and then we had to test it, and it ended up like crushing our legs. Like we both got really badly injured.
My neck, because we were on a rigid frame, and we dropped it And it actually just slammed so hard that all of us were like, oh, this is a terrible
No, but don't you remember somebody, I'm not going to mention who, removed a critical piece of the chair. And because that critical piece was gone, because it was like getting in the way, or we couldn't tie it down to the platform, the wood platform that we dropped, the three seats that we were sitting in collapsed into the seats in front of us.
Goodness.
And it completely, like, gave us the worst shins. Like, we just smashed our shins. And I remember going, like, this was a stupid idea.
We got hurt a lot. Okay, Mark Z. I'd like to know about how bad Tori got hurt when he tried to jump the wagon while riding the bicycle. People ask this a lot, especially since I made like a little video and put it on Instagram of you just falling over and over and over. It was like, he played it off, but he was going pretty fast when it went down. And I've watched White Rabbit years ago. I agree. It was a great show. He just wants to know how hard you fell.
First of all, somebody coaxed me into jumping that wagon. I wasn't going to do it.
No,
I thought
it was a terrible idea. It was sarcasm.
But
you were on a beach
and
cruiser.
We're like, yeah, you got this. I saw you. Got
no. That was not the tone. It was like, yeah, you totally got this. Like, it was like sarcasm.
I beg to differ. I say we rewatched that clip because you guys were like, oh yeah, you totally got this. Like, so convincing. So
Tori,
believable.
You were on a heavy beach cruiser.
But this is like early days where I don't really know you guys that well. So I completely trusted you.
Uh-huh.
Anyway,
okay.
If I had a nickel for every time they show that bike crash.
Because it was amazing. It was amazing. it was full stuntman.
So I had the beach cruiser, which is very heavy, tried to jump the wagon, hit the wagon, went face forward over the handlebars, and I don't know how I did not get more injured. The only thing I got was a scrape on my eye because like my head hit the ground, but I was able to like lift it fast enough, and so I just got I had sunglasses on, and those broke. Thank God I had the sunglasses on because they took the brunt of the fall. And then my wrist, like when I landed, I messed my wrist up pretty good. But what was crazy is rewatching the footage. What didn't make it into the episode is I was clearly in shock and I was trying to fix the wagon because I was concerned that I had dented the wagon and that I was like down there trying to fix the wagon. And the cameraman was like, Tori, stop fixing the wagon, sit down, drink some water, take a breath. You're in shock.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw you do a little bunny hop next to the wagon, and I thought you saw that it went 1 inch off the ground. 1 inch off the ground. I also did not know you well enough to think you would actually do it at that point. I thought you would have thought better.
You were just joking. Right.
Now we know each other better, and I think that now you would take my warnings, and I would not be sarcastic.
But yeah, I feel like I should have gotten a lot more injured. After the injuries, like I had this black eye and I had a brace on my wrist and my parents were like, what happened? And I'm like, oh, I got hurt at work. And then when the episode aired, they were like, you idiot. What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Stop. Next question. This comes from Josh C. In the Stone Cannonball myth, did Tori really stumble upon the concrete polishing tool? It was portrayed as Carrie and Grant struggling to figure out the process. Then Tori struts in to make it look easy. I hope that it was natural scene because that was cool to me.
Oh, my God.
That's a great question.
That was really tough. I mean, that was one of those things that, like, we weren't faking it. We were really building. And so, like, I mean, it was a really long day of just like dust and like breathing the dust and trying to wear masks, but it was getting into our masks and Grant and I were miserable. I think I've got some pictures in my phone that I'll post them to this when it actually goes to YouTube.
Covered in dust?
Oh my God. We were just like, looked insane.
Yeah. So what we started off with, we were trying to make these stone cannonballs. And the reason why in the myth, it was like, if they fired stone cannonballs at the castles, it would break against the castle, do damage to the castle, but then the cannonball was destroyed. So they couldn't, the opposing team couldn't take that cannonball and use it back, fire it back.
Couldn't reload.
At their enemy. So we were like, okay, where do we go? So we went to this quarry and we got all these cores. They were like cylinder size cores that they were pulling out of granite slabs. And so it gave us kind of a beginning form where it was at least round and mm-hmm.
like one side.
Yeah. And so our job was to see if we could get that and carve it into a perfect sphere.
What a pain in the butt.
Yeah. But I what happened is I went to a hardware store and there was these granite polishing or granite cutting tools. And I was like, okay, it's a diamond coated blade. This will definitely help me start carving this piece of granite. But as I started doing it, the ball fit perfectly inside of this bit. And then I had it on a pipe. So it just all of a sudden just started spinning on its own. And I just held it there and it just started working perfectly. And that was an organic discovery.
I love it when you kind of just figure out a rig. I get really excited when you've been trying super hard and then there's just some sort of fun thing that you figure out. Like, I remember we had to twist wire and a bunch of it. And Jamie came up and he's like, oh, here's how you do it. And I tied two ends off at an anvil, walk across the room instead of twisting it by hand and put it in the chuck of a power drill and just goes.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I was like, this is brilliant. Like once you get a good rig, you can do anything. This is why having makers on set, I think, made this show so much fun is we didn't go about it in the normal way. We always found some sort of weird inventive tool.
And a lot of the stuff we were doing were prototypes. So it's like you didn't really, there was no blueprint for the stuff we were making. And, that was one thing in the early days, we didn't have background builders. Like we had to build it ourselves. I mean, that's why they hired us is because we could build. And a lot of people were like, oh, as soon as the camera's off, you guys have builders come in and finish it. And it was like, no, because we don't even know how this is going to work. We got to figure it out. And that was one thing that was interesting. What I loved about Mythbusters is every day you would walk in with a new challenge. And then it was like, you make it up as we go.
I actually really loved when we would have our brainstorming meetings and everybody would be in there and they're like, okay, we need to figure out a way to slap each other. But how are we going to do this so that it's completely controlled? And we're like, we need a face-slapping robot, a face-slapping rig. Okay, we got to go invent a face-slapping rig. And then, we reverse engineer the idea till we come up with some weird, it was never, we can't do this. It was always how can we do this? No matter how crazy it was, we would always just try to figure out how we can do this. Not that's dumb. We shouldn't. We can't. It was never. It was always positive. It was always all right, everybody come up with an idea. And then whoever had the idea that worked the best and we got the most excited about, we would go for it.
Yeah. Well, I remember there was one time that I remember we couldn't get the experiment to work. And so it was like we were compressing some gas, whatever. And we didn't know if the cylinder would get hotter or colder. And so we faked two different reactions. Ooh, it's so cold. And oh my God, it's warming up. It's going to explode. And it was so bad that we scrapped that. And from then on, we're like, no.
We can't fake anything.
These results. Because it's like, we're going to get called out. This was fun. I think we got to do this again, Carrie. This was this is exactly what the whole reason we started doing this podcast. Is to get reconnected with the fans, and this was really a good one. I feel like we need to do more of these.
Okay, thank you guys. Thank you for sending all your questions. Please continue to follow us on Instagram. Keep sending in your questions. Tag us and others that you might want to see on the podcast. If you've got a dream guest, please tag that person so that we can maybe get them on here. Follow, subscribe.
Yes, join the community.
Down a 5-star review.
Join the MythFits community.
Is that it, Tori? Are we ready?
I think so. MythFits out.
MythFits out.
Pioneer.